Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hi guys, Toby Mathis here. Today we're going to be talking about how you can take expenses that you've incurred personally that are not deductible and are hereinafter gone because we are not even going to be able to write off miscellaneous itemized expenses anymore since they were removed from the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, but how we can take those expenses that we don't get to write off and how we can make them reimbursable business expenses that we can receive reimbursement from a business. It can write it off and I don't have to report it as taxable income. Yeah, you heard me right. So the first thing we have to do is figure out what exactly we're talking about, what rules actually impact it. So we're talking about deductible expenses that may not be deductible to you as an individual that would be deductible to a business. That's kind of step number one is, are these related to business? Are they something that a business could say is for their benefit, even though you're incurring them personally? That presumes, of course, one major fact, which is that you're an employee of the organization. Here's why this is important, because as a individual owner of a business, you have several choices as to how you structure that. 70% of businesses out there just set themselves up as what's called a sole proprietor, which means they do nothing except report the income taxes or the business income and expenses on their Schedule C of their 1040. In other words, it's going onto the personal return and they are just filing a schedule on their personal tax return. That's how 70% of the businesses out there operate. Now, the problem is you cannot be an employee of your own sole proprietorship. So you are not eligible for what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about today is specifically termed an accountable plan. And it falls under a set of federal regulations or what we kind of call the tax laws, which would be 1.162-2, a section that is reimbursements and expense allowance arrangements. And this is exactly what it says. Amounts treated as paid under an accountable plan are excluded from the employee's gross income and are not reported as wages or other compensation on the employee's form W-2. They are exempt from withholding and payment of employment taxes, which is like FICA, FUTA, Railroad Act, Railroad Unemployment Act, all sorts of fun stuff, and income taxes. In other words, you don't pay any tax on it. You don't have to report it. It doesn't show up on your 1040 at all. Now, the business gets to write it off as a business expense, but it doesn't sit there and call it wages or other compensation to you. It's just reimbursement under an accountable plan. So the first hurdle is to make sure that you're an employee. If you can't do that as a sole proprietor, then what are other choices? Well, you could possibly be, a lot of people look at and they're set up as partnerships, which is basically two sole proprietors. If it's individuals, you can't be an employee of your own partnership either. So that leaves us to really just one choice, which is a corporation. There's a couple flavors of corporations, S or C corps, or even nonprofits, but still, it's just going to be a corporation. That's how you become an employee. So if you want to have the benefit of the accountable plan, the most important thing is to make sure that you're set up correctly. And just knowing the facts out there, about 70% of you could not do it even if you wanted to. And it's closer to 80 when you add in the number of partnerships out there. So 80% of the businesses don't even qualify for this because they're not set up properly. Of that 20%, then you just have one other hurdle, which is to meet some requirements set out by in the code. Here's the beautiful part. Technically, you don't even have to have an accountable plan in writing, although I'll just tell you as an attorney and as a tax practitioner, you want to make sure that you have things in writing, because when the IRS comes in, they just kind of say, where's your backup for any of these expenses? And they want to know the who, what, why, when, and where that you're writing off. And the regs do give us the kind of a safe harbor of things that we can pass or that we can keep to make sure that we never have to worry about having these expenses be excluded and treated as taxable income to us. In other words, if they're not a reimbursement under an accountable plan, then they're wages. So we want to make sure that we don't fall into that category. And the easiest way to do that is just to keep a paper trail. Now, assuming that you're set up correctly, so you're set up as a corporation, and by the way, this could be an LLC taxed as a corporation. So it could be an S-Corp, a C-Corp, LLC taxed as an S-Corp, LLC taxed as a C-Corp. Then as long as you're an employee, which means an officer or director, even if you're not even taking a wage, you could still be considered an employee, and you have an accountable plan, which basically just says, hey, the business is going to reimburse any expenses that you incur. And I'll go over a few of them here in a second. Then your next hurdle is to make sure that you meet the four-part test that they give. Realistically, the four-part test that's set out in the regs, really simple. Is there a business connection to the expense? In other words, it's not going to reimburse you for groceries. It's going to reimburse you for things that you're using in conjunction with the business. For example, if you're using a cell phone and the business says, hey, we need to have access to you 24/7, or we need you to be able to talk to customers and we need you to have a cell phone, then it can reimburse you for the full cost of that cell phone. So that's pretty straightforward. Before you freak out and say, what about my personal use? That's not important here. It's whether it's for the benefit of the employer. And is that cell phone being used in connection with the business? Then it can reimburse you 100%. It's 100% deduction. For those of you who are sole proprietors, your eyes are rolling around going, wait a second, I have to track business and personal use. Yeah, you do, but not under accountable plan. That's why it makes sense sometimes to structure yourself a little differently. Number two is substantiation. You have to provide the employer proof that you incurred the expense. So a receipt. Again, I always say keep a who, what, where, when, and why. You know, use a credit card so it's easy to track, and then say, hey, here's what I incurred that for. Cell phones are pretty easy. You just show the payment that you made. And then number three, no excess payments. So it can reimburse you what you paid, not a whole bunch of extra money. So if you incurred $100 worth of expense, it doesn't pay you. The business doesn't pay you $130. It pays you $100. If it pays you the $130, then the $100 of the reimbursement is treated as a under the accountable plan. It is not taxable. The excess payment, the $30, would be treated as wages. And then timeliness. They want you to be tracking these things. Generally speaking, they want you to let the employer know of the expense every 90 days and for the employer to reimburse you with 120 days. Obviously, if the employer does not have a bunch of cash, then you're going to have to perhaps move that into a note or something else. You just want to make sure that you're keeping track of these expenses and letting the employer know. I suggest that you do it at least on a quarterly basis. And again, this is a safe harbor. This isn't a hard and fast rule. This just says, hey, if you do this, we're not even going to question it.
If you are a real estate investor, trader, or business owner who wants to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and build future wealth, then you need to attend the next 3-day tax and asset protection event sponsored by Anderson Business Advisors. At the event, podcast hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman will discuss the art of building generational wealth, ninja equity stripping strategies to discourage lawsuits, the reason to forget LLCs for real estate, tax strategies to stay out of the IRS crosshairs, avoid the joint venture chamber of horrors, and much more. The Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection event is held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Join us for the next 3-day tax and asset protection event and network with other investors and business owners while learning strategies to build your wealth and help you sleep better at night with a solid peace of mind knowing you have prepared for anything. Learn about the next event dates and locations by going to AndersonAP.com and register today. That's AndersonAP.com to register. AndersonAP.com.
What are examples of some expenses that you might get reimbursed on? Well, travel might be one. You're traveling around on behalf of the business, or you have a business that has an element to it, benefits from your traveling. So you're going out to some trade shows, maybe some seminars or conventions, or you're going out to meet some clients, or if you're in real estate, maybe you're looking at real property, things like that. And the travel expense would include the travel to and from the motel or hotel, business meals. A lot of folks say, oh, you'll get to write off 50%. Well, the business only gets to write off 50%. It can certainly reimburse you for meals when you're on the road or when you're meeting with clients and things like that, you know, or you just get a credit card in the company name. But we're just talking about the accountable plan and reimbursing right now. So assume that you paid for it, then you can reimburse yourself. And the way it works is this. If I always use the example of my employer calls me up and says, bring in a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts or 12 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts for the office, something like that, where it just says, hey, go out there and buy a bunch of donuts, bring it in here, and we'll reimburse you. I come in, I give it the receipt, let's say it's $100, and the company reimburses me. I don't report that anywhere as a person. I don't have to say, hey, company reimbursed me $100. I don't have to show that anywhere. Where it really comes into play is for the company. They want that receipt so they could say, hey, we incurred an expense bringing in a bunch of donuts for our convenience to, you know, or for a presentation or whatnot. Maybe they're doing a customer thing. And they just show that as an expense, a regular office expense. And and you don't have to report it anywhere. So that's how these things work. It's pretty much a very, very shallow paper trail, if anything. And it's just the receipts. As long as you're meeting the same requirements that you'd have to meet if you wanted to write it off anyway, then you're absolutely fine. Other example is, let's say the employee, or let's say you're buying an iPhone or some computers or something for the business. Say your kids work in the business too, that type of thing. Then voila, here's the business can just reimburse you for that. And then one of the big ones is the employee home office. A lot of practitioners out there just don't understand the home office. It's actually pretty simple when you look at it. There's really only four ways that you're going to have a home office deduction, and they always seem to get stuck on one. But if you are an employee and you're doing your administrative activities at your house, that qualifies as a principal place or business. So it sounds weird, but it's easier as an employee to have a home office than it is if you're just trying to run your business. The other three ways to do it is, like, if you actually have a cash register in your business, in your home, where you're transacting all the business and collecting all the money, then yeah, that works too. Or if you have a physical place where you're meeting patients, clients, or customers, or whatever, that obviously qualifies. Or if you actually have a detached structure that is not part of the dwelling unit, not attached to the dwelling unit, and that's where you run your business. Those are the kind of the four ways. The easiest one, obviously, is the administrative office, which, again, that's the one that everybody seems to miss. And all of a sudden, the business can reimburse you for the cost. And that cost is everything associated with that house, including your utilities, internet, house cleaning, all that stuff gets lumped in. The depreciation, you actually calculate out if you were depreciating the improvement on it, and you calculate that as an expense. Any mortgage payments or private mortgage insurance, all these things get added in, and you come up with a total amount for running that home, and then you figure out what percentage you're using of the house. Now, there's about 10 different ways to calculate the percentage of business use. That is, A, it should be exclusively used for the business. So you want to actually have a room set aside for your business, where you say, this is where I do all my administrative activities for my business. Beautiful part about that is, once you establish an office away from your main office, perhaps, then the travel between those becomes business miles instead of commuting miles. You can actually reimburse yourself even if you're driving from one office to the other. The company can actually reimburse you, and you don't have to report that income either. There's about 10 different ways to calculate out what percentage of those expenses you calculate. A lot of people use the square footage, where they look at the total square footage of the house, and they say, this is how much the room is, and they divide that and come up with a percentage. And let's say you're using 10% of the house for the business room, then you would get 10% of the expenses as a reimbursable expense. Like, you can reimburse yourself 10% of those total costs for the year. So if it's $30,000 of total cost, you could reimburse yourself $3,000. You wouldn't have to report it, and the company would report it as office expense. That's not a huge percentage. The other methodology you could use is net usable square footage. And so you look at the office compared to the rest of the space of the house, excluding hallways, bathrooms, things like that, and you come up with net usable square footage, and you might get up to 20%. The other route you go is if there's actual rooms in the home and they're fairly equivalent in size. Let's say you have a house that has a big living room and four sub-rooms, whether they be bedrooms or whatnot. We're not going to count bathrooms, obviously, but we're going to look at the rooms. So let's say we had a five-room home total, and one of those is being used for business, then you'd have 1/5, or you'd have a 20% deduction. So, I mean, that sounds like a pretty decent amount. And again, let's go back to our same example of $30,000 total expense. You could reimburse yourself up to $6,000. You don't have to report it. The business deducts it. That's a nice fat tax benefit. And that's what comes underneath the accountable plan. So that's why, for the folks that know what they are, they're extremely, extremely powerful. For folks who don't know what they are, well, they're missing out. So you want to, you know, sometimes tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, you're missing out. If you're going to be in business, you may as well get some benefits. So anyway, that was it for today. I just wanted to go over accountable plans and give you some easy ways to create an accountable plan, make it basically bulletproof, is to make sure that A, that your setup is the right structure. You're going to end up being a corporation. You're going to be an employee of that organization. And then you just want to make sure that there's a business connection for the expense, that you substantiate it with some sort of evidence, that you don't pay yourself more than you actually paid as an individual. You don't reimburse yourself more than you paid. And that you do this again try to be doing it every quarter at a minimum, and you will have no issues. It makes life a lot easier as well.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.